Will the young people come and join me? Hey guys, come on up. Come on, Blake. Sit up here, buddy. Come on, everybody. Good to see you. How's everybody doing today? Come on, Jada. Everybody doing good? Everybody doing good? It's going to be your birthday soon. That is so awesome. Come on, buddy. Come on, Jack. Make room for Jack to get through. Come on, buddy. Or not. Or not. How are you doing? You doing good? You want to come? Well, come on. Then come on. Okay, buddy. The service is only an hour and 15 minutes. Come on. Come on. Oh, he was so brave. He was being, thank you. Say, thank you, Mommy. I am so glad to see everybody here today because you know what? Today is a very, very special day. Today is Reformation. Does anybody know? Joshy, look at me. Josh Jr. Josh. Okay. Do you know what today is? It's a special day. It's Reformation Day. Does anybody know what that means? It's why I'm wearing red. Joshy. Josh. Shh. That's where you're wearing red. That's why a lot of people are wearing red. Well, I don't know about that, but you know, many, many years ago, the Christian church went through a big change, okay? Now, today, the Christian church has many, many different brands. There's lots of brands of Christians, but they're all Christians. It's all about Jesus, but there's many, many different worship traditions, people who are comfortable of worshiping Jesus in a certain way. And so there's different brands of being a Christian. But way back in the beginning, there was only one brand of being a Christian. And there was just one person who said how everybody had to be, okay? And sometimes those people had different ideas. And they would kind of go off on a tangent, usually for a good reason, because maybe something was happening. But they got very, very far away from the Bible. And there was a man, and I'm just going to talk about one. There were actually quite a few of them, but there was a man by the name of Martin Luther, and he was a priest at the time, and he decided that everybody really needed to get back to what the Bible had to say, because if we just went by what people had to say, we could get pretty crazy. Because if we're just off on our own, we can get pretty crazy. And so this man by the name of Martin Luther, he decided that everybody should just get back to what the Bible says. And he thought that the one church would be real happy to hear that news, but they weren't. Because a lot of people were going to lose their jobs and a lot of money about that time if they would get back to the Bible. So that's when the Protestant church was born. Because it was a church that needed to get back to the Bible. And so that's something that makes us very, very special as this brand of Christian, in that we have to go by the Bible. If it's not in there, okay, we don't do it as a part of the foundation of our faith, okay? So that's what we do, and that's what Reformation reminds us every year, is that we're all about the Bible, okay? Okay, so when you have a question, and you wonder how you should handle something, or if something's going on in your life and you're wondering about that, where do you think that you should look? Do you think you should read the National Enquirer for an answer? No? No? Where do you think you should look?
You should look in the Bible. And I didn't know you get free cereal when you become a Christian.
Free cereal when you become a Christian? How's that? Free cereal. Did I miss it? Okay, you guys, you'll translate for me later. Okay? All right. Anyway. So this is what we remember, is that when we're having a problem, when we are struggling in life, where can we always look? Everybody say it.
The Bible.
The Bible. That's right. That's what's very, very special about us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you have given us the Bible so we don't go off in a crazy direction. And we pray right now that we would always remember that when we have a problem or when we're facing trials and tribulations, that we can always look in your word and we will find the answer. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Junior Church, off you go.
just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
The mate was a mighty sailing man,
the skipper brave and sure.
Five passengers set sail that day
for a three-hour tour, a three-hour tour. The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossed.
If not for the courage of the fearless crew,
the middle would be lost, the middle would be lost. The ship's aground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, and the rest are here on Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island was the biggest hit show of 1964. What were you doing in 1964, those of you who were born? Yeah, who's five? For those of you who were not alive in 1964, it was a show about a handful of cruise passengers who were shipwrecked on a desert island. Every episode of Castaways of the SS Minnow faced another crazy adventure, and millions of viewers every week turned in to learn what modern technological device the professor would make out of a coconut, or see what amazing piece of household luxury the Howells would have inexplicably brought for a three-hour tour, or hear the skipper yell at Gilligan for yet another mishap. And the producer of the show, this Sherwood Shorts, told the media that about 6 weeks into the show, the commander of the United States Coast Guard came into his office, and he was really, really perturbed, and he threw down a stack of about two dozen telegrams, and all the telegrams said about the same thing. For several weeks now, we have seen American citizens stranded on some Pacific island. Why doesn't the Coast Guard do something about it? Can't you send a United States destroyer to rescue those poor shipwrecked people before they starve to death? Now, believe it or not, none of those telegrams were jokes. They came from viewers who were deeply concerned about the people they saw on an imaginary island. Now, of course, we today think that that story is an absolute scream. All of us here today believe that we can tell the difference between fact and fiction. And most of the time, we can. We can tell the difference between a sitcom and real life. A 30-minute television show might be very exciting, even if it's a reality show. It might be funnier, but sooner or later, someone has to turn off the TV and has to face life for what it is. In the words of Jesus, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, this quote from the Gospel of John is carved into cornerstones over the doors of old schools and libraries. You know, there was a time in our modern culture when finding the truth was the business of schools. We went to school not only to discover facts, facts that we will use, and let's just face it, facts that we won't, but we went to school to have an encounter with the truth. Truth has taken a beating lately because there is a modern movement to try to convince people that the truth varies. In other words, we're told that your truth may not be the same as my truth. It prevents people from being offended, we're told, if no one is ever told you are wrong. You know, I happened to be in the barn a week or so ago. And the people that keep their horse there, they play Christian radio for their horse. I don't listen to the radio very much, but it was a Christian radio station, and it really piqued my interest because a fellow was saying that even evangelical Christians who have been polled, now I'm not sure if I heard this correctly, but it's scary regardless, that about 60% of those evangelical Christians who were polled do not believe that there is absolute truth. Now, that's scary. And that is also a lie of the devil. You see, here's the deal. If your truth is different from my truth, then by definition, it is not the truth. What makes truth truth is that it is unchanging. So don't let the enemy fool you into believing that lie. There is objective, unchanging truth. And here's the great part. When you know it, it will set you free. You will know the truth is a promise that Jesus gave his disciples. And that is the best place to start while we consider the Protestant Reformation this morning. Most of the Protestant Reformation was an educational movement. Middle of the 1500s, it was the Renaissance. And because of a brand new invention, the printing press, people were beginning to read the Bible for themselves. As a result, they started to think for themselves. You know, at the time, there were good priests and bad priests, just like there are today. But the priests were given an agenda by a very strong hierarchy. And sometimes they were even given an agenda by a local government. And when no one could read, whatever the people were told, they believed. Those in authority knew that nobody was ever going to find them out. They could pretty much crank out any information they wanted to. But as lay people started reading the Bible, they discovered that they were all members of the priesthood of Christ. You know, a famous seminary professor once said, "Once people wise up, they never wise down." Because after all, the truth sets people free. At least we hope so. But the fact is, the word truth is a loaded word in the Gospel of John. According to John, the bottom line of the Gospel is that Jesus Christ is grace and truth. John 1:14. The single most important event in the history of the world was the coming of Jesus Christ, whether you choose to accept it or not. The incarnation was God shouting in our face that he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's the good news. But here's the bad news. That same incarnation reveals the truth about ourselves. The same incarnation that is good news reveals the bad news about who we really are and about who we are not. And quite honestly, we don't always want to hear it or face it. We have deluded ourselves into thinking that we're really something pretty special. We are all that in a bag of chips. You know, when the boys were young, I used to do something bizarre, and then I'd say, "You wish you were as cool as me," I used to say to the kids. We are not always ready or willing to hear the truth about ourselves, and the truth is that there has never been a cool bone in my body. Don't confuse me with the facts, is the way we like to live our lives. When Jesus spoke in this morning's gospel lesson, he was smack dab in the middle of a nasty debate with the leaders of the Jerusalem temple. They were calling him names. They were questioning his sanity. They were challenging the situation surrounding his birth. And in the face of all this brutality, Jesus says, "If you knew the truth, it would make you free." His enemies yelled at him, "We are children of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. You wish you were as cool as us." Okay, well, that's not in the text, but it would be if they, you know, I would have translated it. Jesus says, in effect, "You don't see it, but you are slaves. You think you're the only ones that can hear from God, but your stiff necks have made you deaf to his voice." Jesus was challenging their belief, you see, that their religious affiliation was what was going to save them. He was challenging their belief that if they jumped through enough hoops, they were going to be good with God. And Jesus told them that no matter how many hoops they jumped through, no matter how hard they worked, no matter how loud they argued, that no matter how much better they looked than everyone else, it was not going to glorify God, and it was not going to save their souls, and it was not going to make their lives any better. And Jesus topped it off with, "You are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth." You know, what Jesus was reminding us is that just how so completely we can convince ourselves that we don't need God, that we are right, that whatever we conjure up in our head is fine. Don't confuse me with the facts. We are slaves to our egos, and that's why we don't want to hear the truth. When we dare to say, you know, "Get out of my way, I know what I'm doing," you know, there's just evidence that we have missed the point. When we say, I don't need God, I've got this, we have missed the point. You know, a great man once said, before you think you are the only one free, check to see if your pants are unzipped. This does not speak to me, but I thought it might speak to some of you. We live life under a lot of illusions. I am in control. I know what's going on. I know what's best. I can do everything better. And one illusion of our time is that education is all that we need. I believe wholeheartedly in education. I believe it's a necessity and that it is awesome, and the more, the better. But in reality, education does not guarantee integrity. Education does not guarantee truthfulness. It does not guarantee trustworthiness or dependability or service above self. That's a soul issue. A good education will never give you peace of mind. It will never provide contentment for you. You will not have joy if you are higher educated. You will not have joy for the journey. That's a Jesus thing. So we have to be careful, because there are many, many highly educated people who claim to have the truth. And those who lack discernment, you see, they seem to make sense. I mean, after all, why wouldn't you listen to someone who is better educated than you? When Carl Sagan was alive, he explained everything by what he called pure science. Now, that was a code word for Carl Sagan without God. That's what that meant. From distant galaxies to our own predisposition for evil, which, by the way, is a result of our reptilian brains, if you listen to Carl Sagan, you know. That's how he explained everything away. There are people that bought the lie of Carl Sagan. How does that go, you know, the rat, the boy, you know, just that we're just animals? And if we're just animals, then we are in serious trouble. Look at how animals treat each other. And people who bought that lie might be the salt of the earth, might be the ordinary American who worked hard all day and went home and watched 6 hours of TV that night. His wife's sitting on the sofa reading 50 Shades of Grey. And he's really more likely to guide his life by reading the horoscope than by reading scripture to discover God and his truth. That's the world in which we live in, and that's why our culture is deteriorating. You know, people today are nicer than they've been, by and large. People today are more willing to contribute to a good cause or work for a good cause than any other time in history. But the fabric that has held this country together is crumbling away because we have forgotten Jesus. And because we have confused the facts with fiction, they become more blurred. Is there any way out of this spiral that we find ourselves in? Is there any truth left that will set us free? Those are the questions that were haunting a priest named Martin Luther. We know his story. Close call with lightning in 1505, he enters the monastery and took his vows. For years, he was trying to work out his salvation. He was trying to be good enough to be acceptable to God, and he couldn't pull it off. The problem was that no matter how hard he tried, he could look in the mirror and he knew who he was. He was never free from himself. He beat himself, he starved himself, but he knew who he was, a prisoner to sin. In 1515, he discovered something he had never seen in the book of Romans, 3rd chapter. He knew what it said. He had scripture memorized. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But because he was so blinded by his own unworthiness, he had never noticed the next verse. All are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the next year, Luther was lecturing in the book of Galatians, 2nd chapter. He knew what it said. He had it memorized. A person is not justified by the works of the law. But he could, and he just knew that he could never keep God's law perfectly, but he hadn't noticed what it said following. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ. That was it. Eureka! That was the way out of the bondage. That was the way out of the downward spiral. Faith in Christ who sets us free. You see, it's one thing to go looking for the truth, but it is entirely another thing to want to find it. You know, we sometimes think, you know, if it seems right to me, it must be okay with God. In our minds, we try to convince ourselves if we work hard enough or we do enough good things or if we argue louder that we will eventually get the piece of puzzle that we know is still missing from our lives. It's the Jesus piece. But the true peace that we see in others, you know, those ones that just smile all the time, it just makes you sick sometimes. The ones who are just facing trials and yet there is a peace in them. That truth comes from one place, an external place. That truth is not an idea. It is not a set of facts. It's found in a person. And that person is Jesus. He himself says, I am the truth. He's not just the way and the life. He is the truth. You know, we don't have to go looking for him because he has already found us. And by giving his life for us, he has bridged that gap between what God expects of us and what we can really achieve on our own, which is not very doggone much. And he is the bridge. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, this is just the truth about the one who is the truth. If you accept this truth, it will make all the difference in your world. And it's not different for you or you or you or you. It is unchanging, past, now, and into the future. Jesus himself said so. John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that we have Reformation Sunday to think about the foundations of our faith. What it means to be a Christian. We thank you for the different brands of Christianity, but Father God, what we thank you for is the foundation, Jesus Christ. We have tried to do things on our own, and we have made a mess of our lives. And now we give it to you, Lord God. And we pray that your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Master, would take control of everything we say, do, and think, so that we might be led by your Spirit, and that we will be set apart, and that we will make a difference in a dark and dying world. For we pray it in the name of the only one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.